The Burt Show.
Look, it's a family matter outside of this studio, but we have been dragged in, so I think it's time to talk about it.
Oh, God.
Jackson's mom has reached out to all of us this morning with a desperate, desperate plea. So maybe we can get Jackson down here. Does Jackson know that you guys have been in communication with his mom?
Mm-hmm. I texted him yesterday because I was like, who is this woman in my DMs? Is she just posing as your mom or is she actually who she says she is?
I did not let him know that his mother DM'd me yesterday at 5:32 p.m.
I just found out 5 minutes ago.
Would you be cool if we got your mom on?
Sure.
Okay. Does anybody have his? Oh, I got her number. Just kidding.
Oh. I was about to say, oh.
Yeah,
I got you. Dear God.
All right, we're going to get Jackson's mom on here. Yeah, because she has made a plea. She's in a panic here right now.
I kind of don't blame her. And I responded. Did you respond?
I responded because I've met his mom before, and she is such a sweetheart. And so once I confirmed that it was, in fact, Mrs. Kim, I decided to reply.
Do you want to detail exactly where the stress is coming from? Do you even know that these messages between your mom and the staff have been going on?
I didn't know how widespread this was. I know. So Abby texted me yesterday and was like, is this actually your mom that's messaging me? And she sent me a screenshot of it. And it's because yesterday.
Tattletale.
No, I was like, is this, if it's your mom, I want to be nice and respond. But if it's some rando who just put like a generic Asian woman in her profile picture, like, I'm not going to reply.
Yeah, no, totally fair. And I knew what it was about because she had also texted me earlier in the day that I did not respond to, by the way. But,
I actually responded to your mother.
So yesterday we were talking about tattoos and I came in here and was talking about how the tattoo that I want to get is a bit aggressive. It's especially for a first tattoo. And I was just talking about sort of how my thought process was going to making such a big commitment. And I kind of left out the fact that my mom has been very anti-tattoo for a long time. And I've kind of been able to warm her up to the idea a little bit, but something that kind of big and aggressive is definitely a no-go in her mind. Mm. And so she texted me in all caps just saying no to the tattoo. And then I didn't realize that she had reached out to every single person.
Yeah. Well, let's read the DMs and see how similar they are.
Sure. Okay.
So yesterday at 5:32 p.m., I did get a DM from your mother. And she says, hi, this is Jackson's mom. Just heard the bit about Jackson's tattoo. I am so not down for this. I don't need to see the picture. It sounds huge and horrible. Please, please try to talk him out of it. Like, painful face, crying emoji with no tears. To which I responded this morning when I saw it. Mom to mom, I will do my best. And she hearted it just 7 minutes ago.
You're supposed to be on my team, Kristen.
No, I'm not. I saw it. I'm not.
This is how I find out that she just copy and pasted her responses to all of us. I was like, this is so sweet. She's like talking to me. No, she's just pasting it all into different messages.
All right, let's get moms on here. Clearly, you're not listening to her. You're not even answering her texts, man. Hi, Alexa.
Hi, Bert. Hi, everybody.
Good morning.
Hi.
Oh, my voice is so adorable. Whatever you say goes.
Oh, my God. I just heard the bit yesterday, and I was freaking out. You know, yes, Jackson is right. I have been anti-tattoo for years and years, and I said, please, 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 Jackson, wait till you're at least 25 to get one, if you're going to get one. Then I am... You know, I'm down for it if he's going to get something. You know, his girlfriend has a lot of tattoos, and I've been warming up to it. But what he described on Wednesday, oh, my God, no. It is a big, fat no.
All right, so you're warming up to the idea of him having ink on his body. Initially, why didn't you want that at all for him?
Because, you know, I work for my brother who's a plastic surgeon, and we have seen so many people who come in with tattoos and they want them removed. And I swear to you, there's a huge percentage of people who regret getting tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's permanent. And to get them removed, it's painful. You have to have multiple sessions. It's not It's just permanent. And for his, the vine that goes down his arm, oh my God, no.
So you said you were, you said you were warming up to the idea of a tattoo. So what he described, you're not on board with, but I'm wondering if he's dead set on getting a tattoo, what would you find appropriate if he were to choose one?
Oh, just something small that goes in the on the back of his shoulder.
Where nobody can see it.
A small cross nobody with a Bible verse.
Right. Underneath his arm, like near his, you know, like chest area where nobody can see it. Yeah, something like that, but nothing that goes down his arm.
Jackson's mom, how would you feel if he got a tattoo, but the sentimental, the sentimentality of it was all dedicated to you?
I don't think he would do that.
Not even an option.
See, my whole, first of all, hi, Mom. I love you.
Hi, Jackson. Love you.
Why don't you text her then? If you loved her, you would text her back.
I know, right?
We've been having this conversation for years and years. You can obviously tell that. My whole thing is, I totally understand. There's a lot of people out there that regret their tattoos. It's a big commitment to have. Yes, they are permanent. But my thing is, it's my decision. If I'm the one that ends up regretting it, then it's on me. I am the one that ultimately is the one that made that choice. And I know as a parent, you never want to see your kid, you know, be regretful or remorseful about something like that. But at the end of the day, it is kind of my choice.
Mm-hmm. Right? Sure. Look, your voice changed.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Totally agree. It is his choice. It is his body. I just don't want to have to look at it every time I see him, you know. Kristen, please.
Yeah, because my son wanted to get a tattoo, and I'm like, dude, I mean, you've thought about it. It's a Bible verse. All right, so how are you going to say no to that? Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, go do your thing, man. I mean, you know the pros and the cons on it. Do it.
I just, Jackson, it's because, Jackson, that you have zero tattoos. I feel like this is a very ambitious first tattoo. And I do want to give credit to your mom because, yes, your body, your choice, etc. But she is seen. She has like the wisdom and the knowledge. And she's seen so many people make regretful decisions about tattoos that she just wants to impart that on you because she doesn't want to see her baby boy go through that.
I get
Thank
it.
You.
I
Thank
get
you.
It. I mean, so yes, the smart idea would have been to kind of ease into this whole thing. And then like eventually, you know, half your body's covered. But then she's like, you know, been kind of stepped along the way so that she knows what's coming next sort of thing. This one's a big commitment.
It's huge.
But I've always been kind of an all or nothing guy. So why not, you know?
You can get it in pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I will say this also. It's kind of...
Game's over.
Absolutely not. I mean, and the truth of the matter is, you know, very few people that just have one tattoo. Generally, when you get one,
oh, yeah,
it begets another and begets another and begets another.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, yes. Mom.
Just say no.
I love you. No. I'll see you tonight.
Love you.
The Burt Show.
Producer Rebecca has walked in here today and she wants to test our knowledge of the Academy Awards and Best Picture. And I almost want to back out of this thing. As I told you guys before, I looked at those nominees and I'm like, man, I think I've seen one of these movies, Dune 2. And that was it. I didn't see anything else this year.
I didn't see any of them either. Not a one.
I've only seen one, and that's Wicked.
Wicked.
Wicked?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're all in the same boat, man.
It's going to be a quick game.
I kind of have faith in you, Bert, because I feel like Hayden, your son, probably made you watch one or two of these movies.
If so, I can't remember which ones, but let's try it.
Well, she's going from Oscars in the past that have actually won the awards.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're going back in time through the annals of the Oscars to find out who on the Bert Show is the biggest cinephile.
You can't use annals and cinephile in the same sentence. That just
it doesn't sound right.
That
everything's fine. It just doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't.
The annals of the Oscars are long and treacherous. Okay, here's the game. I've picked a random year at the Oscars for each of you.
Okay.
I will tell you the year and then tell you three movie titles. You have to figure out which one is the real Best Picture winner from that year? Because the other two, I completely made up.
Oh, okay.
After I read the titles, you can ask for the description of any of the movies or all of them, which I encourage you to do because I worked very hard to make them sound real.
Got it.
Okay, you guys ready to play?
Yeah, let's go.
This is either going to be the easiest game ever or very, very hard. All right, Bert.
Yep.
Was the best picture winner in 2015 Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance, Dear Man or The Unforeseen Value of Naivete, or Lamb?
I would like descriptions of all of them.
All right. Birdman, or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance, is about a washed-up superhero actor attempts to revive his fading career by writing, directing, and starring in a Broadway production. Dear Man, or The Unforeseen Value of Naivete, Stephen, a charismatic surgeon, is forced to make an unthinkable sacrifice when the behavior of a teenage boy he has taken under his wing turns sinister. Or Lamb, a childless couple discovers a mysterious newborn on their farm in Iceland.
The first one is your winner.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay. I can do well.
Did you see it?
This year, I'd suck, but past years, no problem.
Did you see Birdman with Michael Keaton?
I have seen it, yeah.
It was good.
It's a great movie. Mm-hmm. Love that movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Kristen.
Yes, ma'am.
Was the best picture winner in 1941.
Oh, come on.
Rebecca, Aggie, or Samantha? By the way, that's the name of all my sisters.
Rebecca, Addie, or Samantha? Mm-hmm. May I get descriptions, please?
You may. Rebecca, a self-conscious woman, juggles adjusting to her new role as an aristocrat's wife while avoiding his first wife's spectral presence. Addie, an insurance representative is seduced by a dissatisfied housewife into a scheme of insurance fraud and murder.
Okay.
Or Samantha, a young Englishwoman whose fortune card predicts that she will marry, may find it coming true after she meets an army drummer.
I'm going with the first one, Rebecca.
Rebecca?
Uh-huh.
You're correct.
Yeah!
Oh my God, you guys are doing so well.
Didn't they make a remake with Lily James of Rebecca?
Probably. Okay. It seems like they would. It's like classic literature. Okay, I have one for Cassie, but I'm going to make Katie do it. Katie, get ready.
Okay.
All right, Katie. Was the best picture winner in 1951
Damn.
A Briton in Barbados, an American in Paris, or a French Canadian in Berlin?
May I have the descriptions?
Sure. A Briton in Barbados. A veteran British... Kristen, don't laugh.
I'm sorry.
A veteran British barrister must find a way to defend his client in a murder trial while navigating life in a foreign country. An American in Paris. Three friends struggle to find work in Paris, become more complicated when two of them fall in love with the same woman. A French Canadian in Berlin. While visiting her father, a Canadian teenage girl is thrust into German high society during an era of thinly concealed political unrest.
Ooh. I'm going to go with the last one.
A French Canadian in Berlin.
Seriously?
Yeah. That's not right. No, the best picture winner of 1951 was An American in Paris.
Oui, oui.
Great, great movie. I think it's a musical.
Uh-huh.
By Mo. Was the best picture winner in 1970 The Happy Hour Bandit, Midnight Cowboy, or Sunset Laundress?
Descripciones, por favor.
All right, The Happy Hour Bandit. After years in prison, ace safecracker Frank wants to complete one last big heist for the mob before he goes straight. Fun fact, this movie coined the phrase happy hour. Midnight Cowboy. A naive hustler travels from Texas to New York City to seek personal fortune, finding a new friend in the process. Sunset Laundress. A recently widowed woman, determined to make a new life for herself and her young son, opens a laundromat in 1930s Los Angeles.
Huh. That didn't help. I'll go Midnight Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Yay!
Sunset Laundress. I was really happy about that. Okay. Abby was the best picture winner in 2006.
Huh, I was alive.
Mm-hmm. Crash, splash, or crackle?
Snap, crackle, or pop? Okay. Can I get descriptions for all three?
Sure. Crash. Los Angeles citizens with vastly separate lives collide in interweaving stories of race, loss, and redemption. Splash. In a future where the polar ice caps have melted and Earth is almost entirely submerged, a mutated mariner reluctantly helps a young girl try to find dry land. Crackle. At the close of the Syrian Civil War, a young nurse tends to a badly burned plane crash victim whose past involvement in a fateful love affair is revealed through flashbacks.
Ooh. The third one sounds the most interesting, but I'm going number one is real. Crash.
You got it.
Yay! So well.
That was a deep ass movie, man.
It was.
Yeah, but we did pretty well.
The Burt Show.
It's an argument that has stood the test of time between the sexes. I feel like this goes back to cavemen and cavewomen arguing in the cave over whether it was too hot or whether it was too cold. Cavemen arguing it's too hot. Cavewomen being like, I'm freezing. We need to put more wood on the fire. Like, it's just, it's in offices, it's in our homes, mm-hmm. It persists. And Sterling K. Brown was talking about this on the Kelly Clarkson show.
This is the dude that used to be on Grey's Anatomy, right?
He used to be on This Is Us.
This Is Us, that's right.
Yeah, so he was on This Is Us, and he's talking to Kelly Clarkson about the temperature he prefers in his home and the temperature his wife prefers in the home. And listen, I like it a little warmer. But his wife is out of pocket for this.
Temperature?
Of the house?
Of the house. Look, what's your temperature? What would you have the house at?
People don't like me because I'm cold. So I'm always cold.
So you keep it at what?
72 to 74.
Okay.
Shut up.
Stop. Don't judge this.
So cold.
Kelly Clarkson.
The house was built in the early 1800s. It's so cold.
Kelly Clarkson. My wife is cold too.
Yeah.
She prefers 78 to 80.
Whoa.
Thank you.
She's trying to.
Thank you.
She's trying to live a healthy, toxin-free life. Yes. All the toxins.
She's trying to melt me.
That's a sauna.
That's like trying to make weight for a wrestling match.
Right?
78. How much money are they spending on heat each month?
Well, if they live in LA, maybe it's not that much because it's a little warmer there. But still, I'm just like 78 to 80. Could you imagine coming home and your thermostat is set on 80? Now, listen, I used to always run cold too, so I'd like to keep it a little warmer. But now that I'm going through perimenopause,
I made a mistake in my house that I didn't see coming because, I don't think about things. When I got into my house, I removed a lot of the smaller windows because I like a big window look, I like a lot of light in my house. So I put big windows in the house, not realizing in the winter how cold it would be in the living room and how warm it would be in the back of the house, and I can't match it up. It's almost like I'm ready for a cumulus storm cloud to come in because of the hot and cold. I can't quite get it right. All right, so we get this email, and I could totally feel it. Nobody wants to hear their parents doing it. Nobody, right? So she is definitely hearing this and wondering, how do I bring this up to my parents?
First off, I absolutely love your show. It's the best part of my morning, and you always keep me laughing. I'm hoping you can bring some of that wisdom and humor to my situation because I'm truly at a loss here. I'm 28-year-old female, had to move back in with my parents after losing my job at the end of last year. I know, great timing. Nothing says happy holidays like a corporate layoff in Q4. My lease was up on my apartment, and living with my parents seemed like the best way to save money while I regroup. Now, I have a really good relationship with my parents. They're supportive, loving, and we get along well. But we're not the type of family that dives into, shall we say, private matters, which makes my current predicament all the more awkward. I can hear them at night, loudly, and often.
Yeah. Well, good for them.
They living.
Yeah.
She's
L-I-V-I-N, baby.
I think it's great that they're still so into each other after all these years.
It is sweet.
But for my ears, it's horrifying.
Yeah.
I've tried everything. Headphones, white noise, even rearranging my schedule to go to bed earlier or later. Nothing works. And now I'm at the point where I have to address this with them before I lose my mind. The problem is, I have no idea how to approach it. Do I talk to just one of them? If so, which one? Honestly, neither option sounds great. Do I sit them both down together? Do I make it lighthearted or serious? I just can't picture the conversation without wanting to crawl into a hole. Please, help me out here. How do I have this conversation in a way that doesn't make things even more awkward than they already are? Any advice on how to keep my composure would also be a huge help. I'm cringing just thinking about it. Thanks for listening, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts and hopefully get some much-needed peace and quiet. Sincerely, desperately seeking sanity. P.S. If this isn't the weirdest email you've gotten today, I'd be both shocked and concerned.
All right, I have an idea that does not involve talking with the parents. What you need to do is give them a dose of their own medicine.
No,
you're not doing it for reals. Think about the scene in Easy A when Emma Stone is pretending to do it with the dude and she's just jumping on the bed and making crazy sounds and noises and stuff like that. So I think when it happens again, you start jumping up and down on your bed, start making those type of noises. And if they hear that, they know that they can be heard. And then maybe it'll stop.
You think mid-coitus, they're going to be paying attention to what's going on in the other room? They're making so much noise, it's going to be blocking it out.
All right, maybe not mid-coitus. Maybe you just do it when it is quiet so they can hear you. And if they're, hopefully common sense says they can put two and two together. Mm-hmm. If we can hear her, she can hear us.
I'm trying to think in my head here for a second. If one of the options was to go to one of the parents as a woman, do you go to your mom or do you go to your dad?
I go to my mom.
Yeah, I'm not talking to my dad.
I would imagine you would go to your mom.
Your
as
mom.
A woman.
If you go to your dad, though, this thing's going to end for sure.
Why, you think your dad would be more embarrassed?
Oh, man, he might be doubling down.
If it's you, do you go to your dad or your mom?
I honestly wouldn't have a problem going to either one.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I would have such a major issue going to either one.
This would be easy for me, but I probably would go to my mom because I think my mom would be like, my dad wouldn't really care. I don't think. I think my mom would be like,
down.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I would go to my mom.
I'd probably make some kind of side comment like, wow, I was woken up in that like midnight last night. Something was happening in the house and just kind of allude to it. But at the same time, even though you're not paying rent at your parents' house, there's a cost to everything.
Yeah.
And the cost is your mental health.
That's too much. Yeah, exactly.
The Burt Show.
I think I'm going to have to lose some of these health gadgets that I have. The one specifically I'm talking about today is this sleep app that I have. And I'll tell you why. There are mornings where I am waking up and I feel so refreshed and so good. And then I will check my sleep score and it says that I didn't sleep well. And then all of a sudden, I'm tired.
That's going to be mental.
Shouldn't you trust your body over an app?
I don't trust my mind or my body over anything.
Wow. Say that.
All right. So today is Friday Fact Check. I thought this could be fun. We all have been assigned to come in here with a fact that we think nobody in here has ever heard before, right? Just blow one of us away. I saw Kristen, I don't know if you meant to do this purposely, like pump your fist in the air a couple of minutes ago. Did you just find one?
No.
Okay. What was that about?
I checked my Amazon order to see if it was going to get delivered today, and it is.
Okay.
happy Friday. I need this before the birthday party on Sunday. And I went and I clicked it and I scrolled down and it says, will be delivered by 9 p.m. tonight. And that's when I did the fist
pump. That does feel good.
Wow. That's sad. That's where my life is. I get excited about something like that.
All right. So we'll all go around the room with our fact. If one person knows this fact, then you're dead. All right, you're out.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
I won't mind going first because I love this one. But I think I might have mentioned it on the show before. Did you know that 1.3 million Earths make the sun?
I did not.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
1.3 million. Did you know that?
No.
Okay. All right. Think about that. How
That's
little
crazy.
We are compared to the sun.
1.3 million?
Yes.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. What do you got?
All right, so here's my factoid. Kentucky is a state, but it's also a commonwealth. I don't call it the state of Kentucky. I call it the Commonwealth of Kentucky. There are four states in the United States that are known as commonwealths. I just gave you one.
Okay.
What are the other three?
Virginia
is one.
Okay.
Massachusetts
is another. So you got Kentucky, Massachusetts, and Virginia. You need one more.
Feels like something up there in the Northeast. Vermont,
Rhode Island.
New Hampshire.
North Carolina.
Nope. Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And then the distinction is in name alone. The Commonwealths are just like any other state in their politics and laws. There's literally no difference. It's just because when their constitution was drafted, they decided to call themselves Commonwealth.
Okay.
Living in Virginia, all I knew about it was the ABC liquor stores closed early.
Oh.
Yeah, true.
I learned about the ABC liquor stores when I lived in North Carolina.
Yep.
All right, Cass is going to hit us with something really intellectual here because she graduated from Emory.
I don't know that it's that intellectual, but I do find it very interesting. So you guys know the band The Offspring?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
Uh-huh. So the lead singer, Dexter Holland, actually has a PhD in molecular biology. So you may also know this song, which is kind of considered one of their breakthrough songs.
You got to keep them separated.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. That line is what Dexter used to sing to himself in the lab to remind himself not to mix two different flasks of liquid.
Come on.
He would say, you gotta keep them separated. And later it came out into that song called Come Out and Play, also known as Keep Them Separated.
I always thought that was about gangs and stuff like that.
No, it is literally about molecular biology.
I had no idea. Okay.
Can't be mixing Crips and Bloods, right?
No.
Yeah.
All right, I got a feeling for some reason that Cassie's gonna know this. But did y'all know that there's a species in the world that is biologically immortal?
Biologically immortal?
It literally cannot die of old age. Nope.
I do know this.
You do?
I think I do.
It must be some kind of cell, like amoeba-ish.
Well, there's the koi fish, which will actually not die of natural causes. And then there's the water bear, which is like this tiny microscopic animal that can actually survive in space for millions of years.
Mm. This one is a jellyfish.
Ah.
It's called the Turritopus dorhi. And essentially, it resets its cells and starts life over. So it never truly dies of old age. It just keeps regenerating itself over and over again. So
that sounds exhausting.
I have heard that. It goes through all the phases again, right?
Yeah.
It becomes a juvenile and goes back to an adult.
Unless it gets killed in the wild, that's the only way it can't cheat death. It can be killed. But if it's not killed, it will just keep living over and over and over forever.
Kim Kardashian's going to find a way to bottle that and get it injected into her booty.
Facts.
Okay. Okay. This is kind of just a very basic, simple fact, but it's kind of mind-blowing because maybe they should just change the definition so it can make sense for all humankind. But did you know that bananas are berries, but strawberries are not?
I did know that.
Okay.
I only knew it because I did a podcast episode on it once. But what else? Guess what else I found out about bananas? I just posted it to my Insta story yesterday. It's fascinating. They're radioactive.
Huh?
And so are avocados.
What?
Because a very small percentage of naturally occurring potassium is potassium 40, which is a radioactive isotope. So you're literally eating radioactive material when you eat a banana. It's just in such a small quantity, it's not going to do anything to you at all. But yes, you eat radioactive matter when you eat a banana or an avocado.
So she ruined yours, and then she doubled down with something even better.
That was way cooler than mine.
I'm such a nerd. This is my favorite new segment. I'm sorry, Abby.
You should take Cassie out of this the same way we take Tommy out of any entertainment trivia ones, right?
Oh, so this is going to be suck at Cassie facts?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, okay.
All right, so that was our attempt at being smart. So let's end this thing. This week here, Abby, with Britain's first ever cyber farting case.
Yes. It's called balance.
Yeah.
I saw this on The Sun, and what immediately caught my attention was the caption. It says, woman faces jail in Britain's first ever cyber farting case, which is really more of a case about harassment.
A woman from Wales is facing jail after bombarding her boyfriend's ex with videos of herself farting. Rhiannon Evans, 25, has appeared in court today to plead guilty to harassment in Britain's first ever cyber farting case. She is accused of causing distress or anxiety to her boyfriend's ex after sending videos of herself passing wind. The prosecution told the magistrates that in the first video she sent, she proceeds to pass gas by placing the camera on her bottom and passing the gas. Over the next few days, another four videos were sent of the same nature, showing Rhiannon passing wind and then showing her face smiling at the camera. Her tooting continued on Boxing Day and New Year's Day, despite police getting wind of what had happened.
Wait.
Rhiannon was arrested at her home in Carnarvon and will be sentenced this week.
He thought he was so clever with the wind line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you could tell, like, the way he paused. So, like, total, if we were listening, I mean, it's not like she sent hundreds of videos. Mm-hmm. It sounded like she sent like maybe like 10 or something like that.
I feel like maybe this is just a way for the ex-girlfriend to be a little bit petty and punish the girl, the other ex-girlfriend for being, for going after her for no reason. Like, I think she was just like, you know what? I've got some free time and a couple of spare change. I will take you to court to get rid of you.
All right, Mo and Bert, you're dating a woman. You really like her. Super hot. But then you find out she's been sitting farting videos to your ex. Deal breaker?
Hell no.
Yes, ex. You finally met her.
I'm putting a ring on it.
I'm out of there. You nailed it.
The Bert Show.